Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Pockets of heavy rain and storms are moving across our area today. I'll show you the timeline for the rest of today and how many more days of this we'll see.
Hunter Biden, son of President Joe Biden, is expected to plead guilty to two tax charges and has reached a deal on a gun charge. How this could impact the 2024 presidential election.
Plus, just call it an early Christmas gift, the grant that will allow hundreds of students at Duke University to avoid massive student loan debt.
We'll expect pockets of heavy rain on and off for the rest of the day. This wet pattern will continue also through Friday. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for an H2. Thanks for joining us. Our team of meteorologists has all of the angles covered. Peter Sherwood is in the WRAL Storm Tracker with a look at the roads this noon hour. But we'll begin with Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at who is seeing the rain right now and how much more we'll see this week, Elizabeth.
You can see on the wide view that it is widely scattered. We don't have rain falling everywhere, but we do have some pockets where it's heavy. We just had a heavy cell move into Wake County, and it's already started to weaken. The rain is not as heavy. We saw some lightning with that, and now that lightning is beginning to taper off. But we're going to continue to see rounds of this as we head through the day today, as well as the next several days. You can see the rain's a little bit heavier down here, just south of Clayton, a little bit of lightning there. And then we're seeing just some steady rain. Some of that heavier rain moved from Morrisville up toward Durham, and there's still a few lightning strikes embedded in this. And again, we're just going to see waves of this continuing over the next several hours and next several days. So here's the storm tracker. That's where Peter Sherwood is right now. She is moving up toward Durham right now, where some of that rain is a little bit heavier. And Peter, you've been out in it all morning. Have you started to see much standing water on the roads?
Yeah, interestingly enough, Elizabeth, we are seeing some ponding on the road. I do want to take you out to how things are looking from our WRAL storm tracker. You can see as we travel northbound on the Durham Freeway, traffic has been slow going at times. And I'm with our WRAL photojournalist, Keith Baker, and we drove through Raleigh, Cary, Morrisville. And one thing that I am noticing as I cross-reference the radar and driving through these areas where there are some pockets of heavy rainfall is that there is some ponding on the road. So you definitely want to make sure that you're taking it easy. We know that Durham and Wake County is under a flood advisory until around 12:45. Regardless of that flood advisory, if you head in one area and that one particular spot has a lot of water, you definitely want to make sure that you find an alternate route, because this is going to be with us all day long. We are tracking those pockets of heavy rainfall that continues to come down. But Elizabeth, when do we really expect this to give us a little break as we head throughout the next couple of days?
Yeah, so probably by Friday it begins to ease up a little bit, but we'll see the same pattern the rest of the day today, tomorrow, and then transitioning into the weekend especially, it looks like our pattern will move to a more summer-like pattern. We have a low pressure system that's sitting back to the west that continues to push all this moisture up through our area. This is going to take us out to 9 p.m. tonight, and you can just see the waves of moisture, and a lot of that will end up being heavy. Because of the rain, temperatures will be cool today. Temperatures in the upper 70s for highs this afternoon, just holding it around 70 overnight. Tonight. We're also watching the tropics. We have Tropical Storm Brett here. This is the new 11 o'clock advisory. It's moving west at 21 miles per hour with winds at 40 at the forecast track. An update from earlier this morning, it does not look like it's going to become a hurricane in the next 48 hours. Instead, it continues to move westward, and most likely it's going to weaken here in the southern Caribbean. But we take a look at the model plots. Some of those still insist that it will go north. There's no real thinking behind that at this point. We're going to go into a little bit more detail, but best case and most likely scenario will be that it ends up south here, just sitting over the southern Caribbean, and then it fizzles out.
Ken Smith here in the WRAL Live Center. With all the rainy weather that Elizabeth and Peter just talked about, you can expect delays at RDU International in terms of cancellations as well. Well, just before we came on the air with the help of FlightAware, we checked. These are the latest numbers out of RDU International as of this hour. And this number has steadily climbed all day. The number of delays at RDU International now up to 28. Cancellations about 6. With the help of FlightAware and the misery map concerning, look at the red areas. those are the troubled spots. And a lot of RDU flights connect to Atlanta and Charlotte. And a number of those delays are in Atlanta and Charlotte. You see right here, 51 delayed flights at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta this noon hour. At Charlotte, 38 delayed flights. Of course, if you have a flight leaving later on today, check with your airlines. This is also a great opportunity to encourage you to download the WREL weather app. You can track the weather where you are. It's available free to download on Android and iPhone users.
Thanks for that, Ken. We have new information this noon on the investigation into Hunter Biden. This morning, he agreed to plead guilty to two tax misdemeanors, and we learned that he struck a deal with federal prosecutors on a felony gun charge as well. WRO's Brian Schrader joins us in the newsroom right now. Talk about this plea deal, Brian.
Jeff, just in the past few minutes, U.S. Attorney David Weiss, a Trump appointee who led this investigation, said in a statement that the probe is not over. But for now, sources tell NBC News that Weiss will recommend probation and no jail time for Hunter Biden on these two misdemeanor tax violations. It'll be up to a judge, though, to have the final say. Biden's attorney said the president's son will take responsibility for failing to file his taxes. The younger Biden also struck a deal to resolve a felony firearms charge. That charge likely is going to be dismissed if Biden meets certain conditions. Hunter Biden has been the subject of a five-year probe by the FBI, IRS, and federal prosecutors. Investigators have examined his foreign business dealings, taxes, and whether he lied about his drug addiction while purchasing a gun. The White House released a statement this morning saying the president and first lady love their son and support him as he continues to rebuild his life, and they said that we will have no further comment. Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump on his Truth Social platform called the plea agreement a mere traffic ticket and said our system is broken. Meanwhile, a House Republican investigation into Hunter Biden's business dealings continues.
All right, Brian, thanks for that update. A lot there. We'll keep following. Meanwhile, a Florida judge set an August 14th trial date for former President Trump in the Justice Department's case over his retention of classified documents. The judge said in a Tuesday filing, all pretrial motions must be filed by July 24th. Trump and his team are expected to push to delay the trial through those motions. And Trump pleaded not guilty last Tuesday to charges on 37 counts, alleging he violated both the Espionage Act and obstructed justice.
The principal and assistant principal at Terry Sanford High School in Fayetteville, who were under investigation, have been reassigned to different schools. School leaders suspended principal Royvel Godbolt and assistant principal Quantisha Spencer with pay in May. The school system did not disclose the nature of the investigation, but said it involved personal misconduct in school and around the school's campus. Godbolt is now the principal at Spring Lake Middle School. Spencer has been reassigned as an assistant principal at 75. First High School. Both returned to work on June 5th. An inmate who escaped from the Orange Correctional Center on Monday is back in custody, along with a woman authorities say helped him. This is a new mugshot of William Cooper. He was taken into custody around 7:30 this morning near Orange Grove Road in Hillsboro. He was serving a three-year sentence for larceny in Alamance County. Cooper will now be charged with escape. Katie Stittler was charged with aiding and abetting the escape. Her first court appearance is today at 1 o'clock.
In about an hour, the Shaw community will have a chance to address plans to change the historic part of Raleigh. Developers want to rezone properties with skyscrapers. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains why many Shaw University alumni oppose the plans.
Shaw University is the oldest HBCU in the South, but we could see some changes to campus coming soon. That's because of that sign that you see right there, Shaw U Redistricting Zone. Today, the community will be able to share their opinion at another public hearing. Take a look at this video of alumni protesting the changes earlier this month. Advocates and alumni are concerned that the rezoning could damage historic buildings. The university is requesting to add buildings up to 30 stories high to the campus, but developers just agreed to new conditions like adding affordable housing for students and limiting the height of some buildings to only 5 stories. Some Shaw alumni say it's not clear how the changes would impact students.
That is our main objective, is to show us what's going to be on campus. When you say 20, 30, 40 story buildings, then you're not telling us where are the students. The students are very, very important. You know, and also the historic buildings are very important.
Raleigh City Council will meet today at 1 o'clock. From there, they'll decide to host another public hearing or move forward with a vote. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And today, the Raleigh City Council could expand the boundaries of the downtown Sip and Stroll Social District. The district's borders and hours will be extended. Right now, people can drink adult beverages outdoors between the state capitol to the Performing Arts Center and between City Market and the Warehouse District. The expansion adds more of the Warehouse District and extends to the edge of Boylan Heights. Now, if approved, the changes will go into effect August 15th, the one-year anniversary of the district. And today you can give your input on a newly proposed park in Holly Springs. The town council is holding a public hearing on the $100 million bond referendum to pay for it. Town leaders began talks back in 2021 to build a 56-acre park on Cass Holt Road. The bond would raise the town's property tax rate by 5 cents, which equates to $200 more per year on a $400,000 home. If approved, it would go on the ballot this November.
Juneteenth yesterday meant a three-day break for U.S. stocks and Wall Street back to work. Stocks back in the tank. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 317 points this noon as it stands right now. S&P 500 is down 30. NASDAQ down 88. In less than an hour, Governor Roy Cooper will meet with education leaders about a funding plan that would affect public schools across the state. Cooper said Republican lawmakers are backing proposals that would severely cut public school funding. The bills proposed would include more funding for vouchers for private schools. The discussion is happening at 1 o'clock at Western Guilford Middle School in Greensboro.
Starting this fall, students from North Carolina and South Carolina with family incomes of $150,000 or less will receive full tuition grants from Duke University. Those with family incomes of $65,000 or less will also receive financial assistance for housing, meals, and other campus expenses. And students who qualify will receive new financial aid statements by July 1st. Close to 350 students are expected to benefit from the grants this year. Next at noon, a major fire at a New York City bike store. The people hurt and killed when the fire spread to apartments above.
Also, the search for a missing sub near the Titanic becomes even more frantic. The amount of resources involved as time is running out.
Plus, lawmakers bring it back. The proposal to ban gender-affirming care for transgender minors. At 12:30, how they put it back on the table and why now.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The top of the hour of this newscast, we told you Hunter Biden, son of President Joe Biden, will plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax charges and that he struck a deal with the Justice Department regarding a felony gun charge. Joining us to talk about what could happen, well, how this could impact the president's 2024 campaign is Mac McCorkle, professor of the practice in the Sanford School of Public Policy at Duke University. Professor McCorkle, we appreciate you with such quick turnaround, taking the time to talk to us about this. Hunter Biden's legal issues, they've been a topic for years, right? Addiction to alcohol and drugs, ended his 24-year marriage. But I want to start with the tax issues, because two misdemeanor tax charges, he reportedly paid all his outstanding tax bills, hundreds of thousands of dollars. State liens were lifted. I mean, is he done with this? Is this clear? It indicates usually that he's been paid up, right?
Yes, though there is seems to be some question. The Justice Department has put out the statement that the investigation is ongoing. As I understand it, the Biden defense attorneys, obviously Hunter Biden's defense attorneys, have said that they thought this was resolved. So I don't know if we know. Obviously, the Republicans are going to continue to press on Hunter Biden's activities. So I think while this is closing a chapter in the Hunter Biden affair, I don't know that the book is closed.
Is it possible they're concerned with maybe where he got that money to pay those tax bills?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to see a lot of pressing on that. And of course, the Republicans are arguing, well, now that he's pled guilty, we should be able to see the underlying evidence. So this will continue. Like I said, I think a certain turn has taken place here. And a lot of it depends on the American public's view of this. To a certain extent, the polling is suggesting that people don't like these kind of family relationships that work out to the benefit of elected office holders, family members. But they may also have already factored that into the cake, so to speak.
Sure.
Whether this can continue to go on as a major issue, obviously the Democrats and Biden loyalists are going to say, done. Hunter Biden is, you know, taking responsibility. The Republicans are going to say there are way more questions.
Yeah, and they're coming. I mean, a two-tier justice system. We've already heard that from Republicans as well. Expected that. What about Donald Trump? He tried to make Hunter the focus in 2020. Is there going to replay on tap here? Is there enough there for that?
Sure. He's going to try. The problem for Trump and the problem for Trump loyalists is all the family connections, questionable family connections on the Trump side. So that if you had a third party, independent party might want to condemn both the political connections that the Trump family uses and on the Biden side as well. I'm sure that Donald Trump will try to use as much as he can to attack Hunter Biden, but all the questions about Jared Kushner and the Arab money, and it all kinds of goes into the swamp, I think, a little bit on both sides.
Well, yeah, on both sides, you get back into that family topic like you brought up there. There is a lot here. We appreciate you jumping in with your insight here on such quick turnaround with this news breaking today. So thank you
Thanks.
So much.
Yeah, Professor I think it'll be a continuing story.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll talk again. Thank you.
Sure.
A Texas Uber driver is in critical condition after he was shot by his female passenger because she reportedly thought he was kidnapping her into Mexico. The passenger is being held on $1 million bond on charges of aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury. Police say the driver was taking the woman to a destination in El Paso's Lower Valley, and at some point during the drive, she thought she was being taken into Mexico and shot the driver. The investigation did not support that the driver was veering from the intended destination. And four people are dead and five are being treated for injuries after an overnight fire in a New York City e-bike store. The store was fully engulfed in flames and had spread to the apartments above when fire crews responded to the scene earlier this morning. Two men and two women died. A firefighter was among those hurt. The cause of this fire is under investigation. All right, we got to talk about the weather. It's the big story here today locally, Elizabeth. I do see the system moving through Raleigh and Durham with a couple lightning strikes right now.
Yeah, this was a really nasty looking line as it started to develop and lift northward on up into Wake County. There's a lot of red and orange, and that has fizzled out. So that's a good thing. There's still a little bit of lightning with this, but this particular cell is beginning to calm down a little bit. Other than that, we have a little bit of development here in Franklin County that's new, a tiny little spot where that rain might be heavy. And then just some really scattered light rain across the rest of the viewing area. Of course, that's not the way it's going to stay. We're going to continue to see waves of rain, and a lot of this will end up being fairly heavy at times. The latest lightning is up there in that little bit that's moving through Durham right now, but you can see that band of rain stretches across several counties, and this is where we have a flood advisory up until 12:45. I want to show you how much rain we've seen inside that dark green area. This is where the warning is, or the advisory. We've seen 3 inches of rain right here just south and west of Raleigh between Apex and Holly Springs, almost 3 inches just to the west of Wilson's Mills down there in parts of Johnston County, 2 inches of rain here in the northeastern portion of Chatham County, and in southern Durham County, 2 inches. So that's a whole lot of rain in a very short amount of time. And of course, as we continue to see this kind of rain, we'll be watching for more flooding problems. Over here is the storm tracker just south of Hillsborough. Of course, that's where Peter Shearwood is right now with a look. It looks like you're really close to a pretty heavy band of rain. How's it looking?
Elizabeth, well, you know, things are not looking as heavy as they were when we were traveling on 40 and on the Durham Freeway, but I want to take you out to I-85 right now. This is how things are looking as we travel southbound from Durham into Hillsboro. And traffic has been pretty much fine in this area, but that was not the case as we were traveling through Raleigh and Durham earlier. Keep in mind, as you mentioned before, I mean, this one particular spot yesterday got nearly 2 inches of rain, and in some spots with this heavy rainfall coming down, we've racked up around 3 inches already for today. So there is some ponding on the roads. You have to take it easy as you head out for this afternoon. And we expect this to continue into the evening. Elizabeth, just how much rainfall are we expecting as we head through the next couple of days, even today?
Probably for today, as we see some of these heavier bands, easily another inch, and then all total, the models are pointing to maybe another 2 inches. But, you know, we can see how quickly you can get 2 to 3 inches of rain that we saw today, just right here around the Triangle area. This is all because of that low pressure system that's back to the west. It's spinning all this moisture up into our area, and that just continues. Here's, you know, between 5 and 9 o'clock, we see more waves of it. We move it out to tomorrow. There's 8 a.m. tomorrow, and we, you know, see more showers through lunchtime and into the evening. And then we're going to copy and paste that to Thursday and Friday. So there's just a lot more rain that's headed our way. This is a look at the computer model for rain. This is going to be Wednesday through Saturday. And you can see it's another 2 inches to 3 inches. And so we've already had in some places 2 to 3 inches of rain. That's not stopping everybody. I'm going to pause from the seriousness just for a minute. Out here on City Plaza, folks are getting some free ice cream. Hershey's Ice Cream is giving away free scoops. Every scoop they give away, they're also donating $1 to the Salvation Army. And my heart breaks for them. They're out here in the rain because they could really have a lot of people out there with ice cream. But, you know, we got a little lightning. It's rainy. It's 70 degrees. So I guess they're doing the best they can. Temperatures will be in the upper 70s for highs. Raleigh, Durham, Fayetteville, our normal high is 88. And we're going to continue to see these cooler temperatures as long as we have the system around. We take a look at our tropical satellite. Again, one more look at what's happening here with Tropical Storm Brett. That storm is moving to the west at 21 miles per hour right now. And because it's moving so fast, it's likely to continue to move here into the Caribbean instead of moving north. Some of the computer models want to swing it up to the north. The faster it goes, the more it's going to escape some winds that will begin to shift. We do have the potential for our winds to shift. Whatever storm may develop behind this could be lifted to the north. And of course, we do have one more that's in line back here. There's an 80% chance that this one develops. So our sea storm could get pulled up into the Atlantic and not head back into the Caribbean. So all stuff that we're watching very closely. We get a bit of a pattern change getting into the weekend as our temperatures climb back into the 90s with a chance of just a few afternoon thunderstorms.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. As video doorbells and home security cameras grow in popularity, police departments are increasingly asking for homeowners' videos, but can they get it without your permission? Today at 4, 5 on Your Side looks at your rights.
Plus, the ripple effects of new, more restrictive abortion bans are reaching the world of academia. Tonight at 5:30, Shelley Jackson looks at how North Carolina's new 12-week ban is backing OBGYN residents into a corner and pushing the staffing shortage at rural health clinics into a bigger crisis. The U.S. Coast Guard has continued its search for a missing Canadian research submersible that disappeared on a dive to explore the wreck of the Titanic.
Yeah, the 5-person crew started their journey on Sunday, but the research vessel Polar Prince lost contact with the crew after about an hour and 45 minutes. NBC's Tom Costello has the latest from Coast Guard Command in Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, good day from Boston Coast Guard Command, which is in charge of this search and rescue effort some 900 miles out to sea in collaboration with the Canadian Coast Guard. Both Coast Guards have had ships in the area and also planes in the area. Just this morning, the Canadians had a P-3 out on the scene, dropping a sonar buoy to again listen for any signs, trying to hear the sound of that missing submersible and also maybe any tapping or voices from underwater. But this is incredibly deep. The Titanic sits 2.5 miles underwater at that depth. No diver can get out of a submersible. And even a top-of-the-line Navy sub could not dive that deep. The question is this submarine still intact? We do know that when it was going into the water Sunday morning, it had about 4 days of air on board. It's now gone through 2 days of that air. So the question is, how much more air do they have? The other challenge here is if they find this submersible, the Coast Guards don't have the equipment to effect a deep sea rescue. They'd have to bring that in from the Canadian and the American navies, and that could be a long time coming, in addition to maybe private companies bringing their resources to bear. The clock is ticking as the world is watching very closely what's happening down at the site of that Titanic wreck. Tom Costello, NBC News, Boston.
Coming up, between high mortgage rates and low inventory, buying a home can be difficult. How this trend is fueling an increase in so-called build-to-rent properties.
And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Transgender teens are taking center stage today at the state legislature, from health care to sports. At a dramatic committee hearing this morning, Republican lawmakers approved a ban on gender-affirming medical care for transgender minors. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie was at that meeting. Laura, what happened?
Michelle, Republican speaker, or leaders rather, only allowed one speaker per side at that meeting, and that left a lot of people who showed up today feeling like their voices were not heard.
Shame on you, Nurse Donna. You didn't let us speak and you didn't listen to me. This is just like 819. You put your name on this, you better read it and you better stand by it.
Transgender people and their advocates walked out of the committee today as House lawmakers approved a ban on all gender-affirming medical care for transgender teens at public hospitals or healthcare facilities. That includes puberty blockers, hormone treatment, and surgical gender reassignment. Representative Tim Reeder is a doctor. He said he has compassion for the difficulties that trans youth face, but said state dollars should not be spent on transitioning.
I know of no definitive evidence that these interventions, and I don't like to call them treatments, these interventions are beneficial in the long term, and certainly not for children.
Oh, there are plenty of studies. There's plenty of evidence-based studies. You can look at the literature. You can look at the evidence-based guidelines. You can just look up WPATH, which is the actual guidelines that provide appropriate evidence-based gender-affirming care.
Vicki Fowler is also a doctor. She's a family doctor who cares for LGBTQ patients, and she also has a transgender daughter, Grace, who transitioned 8 years ago. She says gender-affirming care helped her daughter overcome her depression and find happiness. Later today, the Senate will vote on a bill that would ban transgender girls from girls' sports teams in high school and college. And tomorrow, a Senate committee will hear a different ban on surgical treatment for transgender teens in any hospital in the state. The American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics are both opposed to any medical bans. Michelle?
All right, Laura Leslie, live for us this noon. Thanks, Laura.
Today, Durham City Council will approve the city's budget for the next fiscal year. The budget includes a 2% pay raise for Durham firefighters and police. It also includes a property tax increase to pay for new projects, funding for public schools, raising county staff salaries, and expanding pre-K programs are also included. Fiscal year begins July 1st. Raleigh city officials are asking for your feedback on how to use your tax dollars to improve one of the busiest roads in the capital city. The state DOT is planning a major upgrade to Capitol Boulevard between Raleigh and Wake Forest. You can learn more about the project tomorrow night at Living Word Family Church in Wake Forest. A pre-hearing open house will begin at 4 o'clock. The formal hearing begins at 7 p.m.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland, Franklin, and Orange counties. Congratulations are in order for Dr. Marvin Connolly, Jr. The superintendent of Cumberland County Schools was named the Sandhills Regional Education Consortium Superintendent of the Year Award for his exceptional leadership. Under his watch, the district has received numerous state and national accolades, including top honors in equity work and military-friendly practices. Dr. Connolly will advance to compete for the state superintendent of the year title that's happening this fall. And people in Franklin County are trying to preserve history. This theater has stood in Lewisburg since at least the 1930s. A town council member tells WREL that its last showing was in 2009 and it's been vacant ever since. And don't miss tonight's redistricting virtual town hall sponsored by the Orange County Board of Education. The meeting will address issues such as overcrowding and under-enrollment, how redistricting will improve this, as well as how and when redistricting and reassignment will take place. That meeting is at 6 o'clock. You can look for a link on the school district's website.
Trying to buy a home these days can be a real struggle. Between high mortgage rates and low inventory, many are finding themselves priced out. CNBC's Diana Olick explains it is fueling a boom, though, in so-called build-to-rent properties.
Single mom Robin Ashford had planned to buy a home near Columbia, South Carolina last year, but mortgage rates suddenly shot sharply higher.
I found out that I wasn't going to have as much buying power as I would have about 2 or 3 years ago, and my monthly mortgage payments were too much that I could handle.
So instead, Ashford turned to this brand new community built specifically for renters.
I don't have to worry about taxes on the home. I don't have to worry about if something breaks. It's the landlord's responsibility.
They have large open floor plans.
And an increasing share of the landlords are now big builders, like Bruce McNeilage's Nashville-based Kinlock Partners, as more Americans decide to rent not only by necessity, but by choice.
We've had a societal shift to people wanting to rent because they want a maintenance-free lifestyle, or they want the ability to move to a city and just give the keys back to the landlord at the end of the lease.
Builders put up 68,000 new single-family rental homes last year, a 31% increase over the year before, according to John Burns' research.
I think it's at the early stages of being a very, very big business, just like the apartment market is.
Burns counted 708 build-to-rent communities coming soon across the U.S., entire communities of single-family homes built not for sale, but specifically for rent.
The people that want a home but have now been priced out due to rising prices and then rising mortgage rates are saying, well, I want a home, I'm going to rent for a while. So it's created more demand for the rental homes.
And renters are demanding more of the builders. Amenities like pools, fitness centers, dog parks, of course on-site maintenance, and as in this community, bigger backyards. But all that comes at a price. The average rent here is about $2,200 a month, and single-family rents across the nation are rising.
That's something that I do need to think about, because trying to save for a home while paying high rent, it's hard.
For now, she's enjoying the new home, even if it's not her new home.
Coming up, summer is here, and we're ditching those closed-toed shoes for sandals. But are you getting enough support? We'll have tips from a podiatrist.
And an AI-powered DJ. It is really a thing. We'll tell you where it's launching and what it means for human jobs.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, that station just announced the lineup for that music festival happening in October at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park as we look live at a rainy deep half this noon hour. And hopefully it'll be a nicer day. Take a look at your screen. Let me show you some of the acts that will be performing. Superchunk, Western Estate, The Nude Party, one of my favorites, Chatham Rabbits, Sarah Hook and the Disarmers. Other acts include H.C. McIntyre, Chester Rich and Alexa Rose. That music festival happening October 14th, mark your calendar at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. We have all the information about that music festival on WRAL.com. Just check out the Out and About section.
Thanks for that, Ken. About one in five adults in the U.S. have experienced depression. A new report from the CDC used data from 2020 and found that 18% of Americans say they've been diagnosed with the disease. Hawaii ranks the lowest, with under 13% of people there experiencing depression, while the highest, West Virginia, has a 27.5% rate. Adults with a high school education appear to account for more cases than people with a college degree or higher.
Warm summer days are perfect for flip-flops and sandals, but before you ditch your tennis shoes to go to the pool, make sure you're wearing supportive shoes to avoid injury. Podiatrists say support is key when it comes to picking the right sandal or flip-flop. Experts advise against wearing something overly cushioned, and that's because it could cause you to lose your balance.
Finding the right summer shoe requires getting fitted. Make sure that you know exactly the right size that you wear. You want to make sure that the shoe is made of a great material that's supportive, that has an arch support, a nice heel counter that holds your foot in place.
And you also want to avoid sandals and flip-flops that can bend and twist easily.
You know, we saw this coming a mile away. An artificially generated voice hits radio airwaves. What will happen to the human employee? The answer when we return.
And here's one job we wouldn't mind robots replacing humans: dangerous water rescue missions. The company behind this innovation when we return. A radio station in Portland, Oregon is rolling out the world's first DJ voiced by artificial intelligence. KBFF Live 95.5 FM announced that it would be using an AI version of their host's voice in broadcasts. But the station's human host, she still has her job. The company says the technology will just be another tool to deliver content to audiences.
Underwater drones could soon replace human divers in search and rescue operations that are too difficult or risky. Krista Mayo explains how operators can use virtual reality to inspect underwater surfaces.
Divers often put their lives on the line during search and rescue operations, but a startup in Switzerland is hoping its new technology will help keep them out of harm's way in situations that are too dangerous. Tethys Robotics has developed an autonomous underwater vehicle. The company says its diving robot can be deployed in places too risky for human divers, like fast-moving rivers, channels, or tidal waters.
We focus really on the most challenging conditions. We at Tethys Robotics developed this next-generation underwater drone, which focuses on compactness.
The diving robot comes with cameras and acoustic sensors that can scan large areas and hone in on people or objects. There are two options when it comes to operating the robot, completely autonomously or through virtual reality, giving its operator a live view of the underwater environment.
You have both basically visual information and acoustic information displayed as a 3D map in real time for the operator. Or, of course, if you have an autonomous interface, it's much simpler. You just say, well, we need to search that area or inspect that kind of structure, and it does it for you, basically.
So what happens when the Tethys robot finds its target? Well, a human operator can take over from there to recover it or inspect it. The diving robot can carry up to 88 pounds back up to the surface.
Krista Mayo reporting there. The company says its underwater robot has already been used in several underwater search and rescue operations in Switzerland.
Very helpful there. Yeah. All right, flight delays at RDU right now. We are counting them. They're up to 31 because of all this rain and weather that we're experiencing. Rain really coming down, causing issues.
Yeah, and that number has just been growing throughout the day, longer we go. So Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center is going to be up and down all week long, pretty much.
It is. We're going to see this replayed again tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. And then things will change up a little bit over the weekend. We may not eliminate our chance for rain. We'll see more sunshine and some warm temperatures. It'll be sticky, too. In Goldsboro, things are fairly dry. We haven't seen very much rain in our far eastern counties, but it's definitely wet in Apex. The rain keeps falling there. We're looking at wet conditions in Chapel Hill, right around the Triangle area. Just in the last few hours, we've seen a lot of heavy rain coming through. So that includes Durham, of course, there. You can see they're all covered up there with baseball diamond protecting things. And interestingly enough, we take a look at the current pattern, and there's a lot of patchy light rain. Earlier this morning, we had some cells that were producing very heavy rain and a lot of folks not seeing any rain at all. And that's beginning to morph a little bit, just into a pattern where there's just a lot of scattered showers. We did see a heavier band come through the Triangle area, a little bit of lingering lightning there around Durham, a little heavier cell kind of coming through Hillsboro. It's unlikely that any of this is going to be severe today, but it does make for some unpleasant driving. And so we thank PETA and Keith for being out there in the storm track during the noon hour, taking a look. And PETA, we'll check in with you one more time. How's it looking there as you're south of Durham?
Yeah, Elizabeth, things are, you know, lining up really well with how things are looking on the radar. You know, we were driving from Hillsboro earlier, just about 30 minutes ago, and the rain was just really heavy. I want to show you how things are looking right now on the Durham Freeway as we now enter to I-40 heading into the Raleigh area. You know, the showers are light right now, but that certainly wasn't the case for this morning and earlier for this afternoon. Some of those storms, or I should say, some of those pockets of heavy rain really were some big rainmakers earlier, dumping around 3 inches in some spots. So it makes sense why we have that flood advisory in effect. Regardless of a flood advisory being in effect or not, definitely want to make sure that you're slowing down and taking it easy if you're doing any travel around town today, because like you said, those scattered showers are really putting down a lot of rain.
Yeah, thanks, PETA. I know, you know, we get into the evening commute, more people are out on the road, and we're going to continue to see rain, so it's probably going to be slow going for folks this evening. A lot of different locations here in the red is where we've seen as much as 2.5 to 3 inches of rain. We had a streak of that through Wake County down into Johnston County, back here across parts of Alamance County into Chatham County, and then around Durham and Chapel Hill and Orange County, too. So especially around the Triangle area, it was heavy. But we saw a streak of that, too, stretching all the way down through Fayetteville, and a lot of 2.5 to 3 inch rainfall totals there too. So it's been heavy in a lot of places. This low is just going to sit and spin and continue to hold this pattern in place all the way through Friday. So what we're seeing this afternoon, we're going to end up seeing again and again. We do have more waves of rain that are going to move through as we head through the day today and overnight tonight. We'll see the same thing again tomorrow. The radar is going to look like this, with showers continuing to move through. There's Wednesday afternoon with not much change, and that will again continue as we get into Thursday and Friday as well. We do have some flooding potential coming from the Storm Prediction Center. We did have some flash flood warnings down in the mountains. We do have a flash flood watch there. They could see up to 10 inches of rain by the time this is all done. They have a high risk for flooding today. For tomorrow, we have just a few of our counties in the north and east, in the northwest, I'm sorry, with a medium risk for flooding, and parts of the Triangle area on Thursday in that risk for flooding again. You can see we're going to see at least 2.5 to 3 more inches of rain on top of what we've already seen. So lots and lots of rain headed our way. Tomorrow's the first day of summer. Ironically, it'll be the coolest day of the week, 76 degrees. And then we do get back into a summer pattern for the weekend. I'm not sure if anybody's ready for the 90s, but here they come. Also coming up, our top stories. Stick around.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines that we're following today. The principal and assistant principal at Terry Sanford High School in Fayetteville, who are under investigation, have been reassigned to different schools. School leaders suspended Principal Roybel Godbolt and assistant principal Quantisha Spencer with pay in May. The school system did not disclose the nature of the investigation.
Today, the Raleigh City Council could expand the boundaries of the downtown Sip and Stroll Social District. Right now, people can drink adult beverages outdoors between the State Capitol and the Performing Arts Center and between City Market and Warehouse District. The expansion adds more of the Warehouse District and extends to the edge of Boylan Heights.
And starting this fall, students from North Carolina and South Carolina with family incomes of $150,000 or less will receive full tuition grants from Duke University. Those with family incomes of $65,000 or less will also receive financial assistance for housing, meals, and other campus expenses. Students who qualify will receive new financial aid statements by July 1st. Well, here's something you definitely don't see every day, a seal that was riding along with surfers. Take a look at this. Surfers at Pacific Beach off the coast of San Diego were very, very excited to catch some waves with the baby seal. You see him on the board there. The pup can be seen hopping from board to board, making itself at home above the waters. And the surfers did notify SeaWorld of the encounter, and a team was sent over to evaluate the pup. It appeared healthy and old enough to take care of itself, so the crew did not intervene.
Makes you wonder how sharks mistake them,
though,
right? Our pet of the day comes to us from Red Barn Rescue. Meet Davidson. If you're looking for a furry companion who is happy and enthusiastic, make you laugh, offers unconditional love, Davidson is your guy. He's 33 pounds, a dachshund, and he is ready to be placed with your family at the center of his universe. And Davidson is potty trained, crate trained, knows several commands. He even sits obediently for teeth brushing.
Wow.
If you're ready to become Davidson's forever family, you can visit redbarnrescue.com, fill out an application to meet him.
With the kids home for the summer, it's time to put more snacks in the pantry. Today on our News at 4, an expert explains the healthiest options that you can pick up today. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Make the best of it out there today. Get your umbrella. Have a good one.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.